Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God. And I was going to talk about an essay that I worked on for the educational group. So we have an online course that we give at His Holy Church for free. The course is closed right now, but if you join the network, the next time it opens up, you'll be able to join in. And there's an essay as part of the assignment talking about congregations and why you congregate and what you do when you congregate. And so I put together my own answer, but I wasn't going to publish it yet until everybody else got their answer in. But we will be talking about it in subsequent radio programs. But just about at the last minute, I decided to change the topic to fathers, fathers of the earth, and natural fathers, and take a look at some of the things that are in the news. For instance, concerning Justina, who we have a new article up on, and if you're in the network, you probably had access to the new information that's come out on that. We've done several shows on that. And to tell you the truth, all the information I see coming from people concerning Justina in the media, they don't understand what's going on. They don't understand where the real problem is. They're trying to find solutions. I just finished a 10-part series that will be airing in a number of our radio stations and on our podcasts. And it addressed some of these issues that people just don't get it. Lawyers just don't get it. Matt Stauffer, who is one of the new attorneys aiding in the Justina thing, he's a very brilliant lawyer, but he doesn't seem to know what's going on. At least he's not saying it to the people. He's not explaining to the people what is going on. He addresses talking about going to higher courts, you know, taking this up. I've never seen anything like this. How in the world can they do this? They never give a reason for why they are taking this child away, you know, in the judge's decision. He just does it. And he acts shocked. He acts surprised. They just passed a law in Colorado that literally forced vaccination of children. You're going to have to prove that you've listened and taken courses. You got to go to your medical practitioner or doctor, and he's got a sign that you have been educated in the importance of these vaccines, and or they're just going to give your children vaccinations. And there were all kinds of people arguing against it. The state doesn't have this right, and la da 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 da. And the fact is, the state has every right, and they tell you that on a regular basis. It's written in the laws. It's decided in the courts, and you haven't got a clue why the state does have that right. Now, they don't really originally have that right, because the rights, men were endowed by rights. God endowed man with rights. God didn't endow governments with any rights. A lot of people say, well, God established the government. The people who say that, they don't even know what they're talking about. You should not listen to those people. Men endow governments with rights. And they usually do it by waiving their own rights. If you went and read the Universal Declaration of Rights, which is a document that has, you know, gone through the UN, UDHR they call it, and Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and we have some interesting articles on humans. But anyway, that would distract you if I explained that to you. But there's quite a few articles in it. If you go down to Article 26, you'll see everyone has the right to education. Well, that's an absolutely insane statement that somebody says you have a right to education, because people are going to construe that you have a right to force somebody else to educate you. To make somebody else pay for your education. Well, you don't have that kind of right. You have a right to go and get educated. You have a right to learn. You have a right to find out what you want to find out, investigate, to learn the truth. You have that right. That's a natural right to seek. But you don't have a right to a education in a school. That's a privilege that might be granted to you by some sort of agency who provides such education. And they may give it to you for free, not charging you, but most of them are not going to give it away for free. I mean, we're the only ones I know that actually give things away for free. We don't have any strings attached. But even that, we don't really give it away for free. It costs somebody something to provide that education. But the people who are doing it with his church, they give it away for free. They don't have strings attached. It costs them. It doesn't cost you. But we do put a little bit of a price on it. We require that you jump through a few hoops very little. You know, you have to have, be in contact with us. You have to have what we call a contact minister, someone who connects you with the rest of the network. But other than that, we give the course away free. And of course, now that, like these radio broadcasts, we devote our time to the radio broadcasts for free. We don't charge anything. And most of the stations that let us on, they don't charge anything. I'd say all of them. Right now, we don't pay for airtime. We devote that time, and the stations are gracious enough to give us that airtime because they think that we have some sort of a message that they think is of value to go out to the world. Cost them money to put us on, but that's their choice. And they have their overhead, and we have our overhead, and you sit there and listen. But that's your choice. And this is why the state can come in. That spirit, when you don't do anything, and you don't participate, you don't want to participate, you just want to sit there and be entertained, that's why the state can come and take your child and force vaccinations on your child. That's why. But now the actual modus of operandi is what we're going to talk about today, and probably for a couple of days to get through all the material, but it's really very simple. It's well documented in history how this works, how the state ends up owning your children. They literally own the children. They are the Molochs of the world. They can take your children and they can sacrifice them to the god of Pharmaceutica. They can sacrifice them to the god of Nebo, which is the god of education. They can do whatever they want because they're not your children. They belong to the state, and we'll show you that. Now, if you read down in that Article 26, there's actually three sections to it in that Declaration of Human Rights, and they talk about education shall be directed to the full development of the human personality. Well, who's directing that? What do they mean by that? Education shall be? See, this is not in Declaration of Human Rights anymore. They're talking about that. They're talking about what you can compel on other people. They're mixing. Their thinking is going into either you're free or you're not free. You know, it's like, you know, either you're a virgin or you're not a virgin. You can't have it both ways. You know, I'm free over in these things, but I'm not free over here. Then you're not free. Free is free. So anyway, but the third item says parents have a prior right to choose the kind of education that shall be given to their children. Where do you get a prior right? Prior to what? There's a point in time where evidently prior to entering into club or entering into an agreement, you had a prior right. Can you lose that prior right? Absolutely. And then when you do, someone else gets to decide what it means to say education shall be directed to the full development of human personality and to the strengthening of respect for human rights and fundamental freedoms. It shall promote understanding, tolerance, and friendship. Somebody else gets to decide what that means. Among all nations, it says, races and religious groups. Now, well-meaning people, but they really don't understand what they're talking about. And I'll give you another group before we get into what is really going on here so that you can actually know why they can take your children away without proving you've done anything wrong whatsoever and just ignore the national media and say, well, you guys don't matter because they're our kids. And they tell you that they are not your kids. They tell you that they have power over them. But anyway, there's another website, parentalrights.org, and they have an amendment that they're trying to get passed to add to the Constitution of the United States. It has five sections, and they're not very long sections. I can read them to you just to give you an idea of what they're thinking. And section one is the liberty of parents to direct the upbringing, education, and care of their children is a fundamental right. Absolutely. I don't know why you need an amendment to state that, but evidently they think they do need an amendment to say that that's because the Universal Declaration of Human Rights says that it's a prior right, fundamental, original, from the beginning. Section 2, the parental right to direct education includes the right to choose public, private, religious, or home schools, and the right to make reasonable choices within public schools for one's child. In other words, when you put your kids in public school, you don't just turn them over. You can actually make reasonable choices. But as soon as you say reasonable choices, who gets to decide what's a reasonable choice? You see, Judge Johnson, in the Justina case, he has decided that it's reasonable to take a child away from parents who have been proven to do nothing wrong whatsoever and imprison her for 14 months, deprive her of education, deprive her of medical treatment that has allowed her to not only survive but thrive, to the point where she's in a wheelchair and feels like she has been in prison for 14 months and is got an ongoing infection now from lack of care that may cause her death in a matter of minutes or hours because she has an infection. And their children have died from this already. And he doesn't have to give a single reason why he's doing it. Now, how does a lawyer defend against legal arguments as to why he can do this when none are made? So why can the judge do this? Why can he just take this child away with no legal arguments as to why he's doing it? No explanation. Well, I'm going to tell you why he can do it, and you might be a little shocked, but I'm not going to tell you yet. I'm going to keep going through these different sections of this deal. So the reality is that they're saying parental rights are fundamental, like the Human Rights Declaration, that they're prior. In Section 3, that says the United States or any state shall not infringe these rights without demonstrating that its governmental interest as applied to the person is the highest order and not otherwise served. So they're talking about the government's interest. The government's interest as applied to the person is of the highest order. Again, somebody's going to have to evaluate what's the highest order, because it's already been ruled in cases that the state's right is the highest order. Whatever they want is the highest order. And they're trying to show that, you know, the state can't interfere unless they prove prove to who that it's the highest order interest of the government to interfere with this child. And the fact is, and actually they don't even say the word prove here, they infringe these rights without demonstrating that its governmental interest is applied to the person is of the highest order. What does that mean, demonstrating? See, they're actually creating more confusion with their attempt, and they're probably getting terrible advice from attorneys as to what's really going on. We're going to show you what the actual solution is. And it's really simple. It's not a complicated solution, but you have to see that there's a problem. So I'm showing you what some people think is the solution. It goes on in Section 4, the article shall not be construed to apply to a parental action or decision that would end life. So, okay, the parents can't end the life of their child. Section 5, no treaty may be adopted, nor shall any source of international law be employed to supersede, modify, interpret, or apply the rights guaranteed by this article. Well, once they put that in, it was doomed. It was unlikely to ever pass anyway. It doesn't really have the teeth that they think it does, because it's still back in the hands of the court to decide what is reasonable and what is demonstrating. And all those things have already been settled in Supreme Court cases and Superior Court cases. And we'll read from a couple of those cases. But that people are spinning their wheels, fighting windmills here, thinking that if we get this in the Constitution, then our rights are safe. Well, there's a lot of things in the Constitution and the talk about rights, and they don't seem to be safe because there's something else in the Constitution that nobody pays any attention to, and that's your right to contract. You know, the state interest is actually decreasing daily. It's going somewhere else, and it's going somewhere else because of debt. Who owns you, baby? Does the United States government own you? Are you a human resource? Is your child a human resource? Well, how can the United States government own you if the United States government is operating in the red and is bankrupt? Wouldn't the creditors own you? So who are they? China? Does China own your children? Does, you know, there are other countries who have bought U.S. bonds and treasury notes, and they have you and your children as collateral. But a lot of you may not want to believe that, and you're going to say, well, I didn't agree to that, but you agreed to something. You probably wouldn't be here if you didn't agree to something. But let me read to you a little piece of, let's see, where does this come from? Ex parte Wright, Fletcher versus Preston, and Stripling versus Ware, and we'll read what it says there. It says, pursuant to the parens patria, that's Latin, father of the nation, so to speak, you could translate it that way, doctrine, which is well recorded, it's even in the U.S. codes. I might even be able to tell you where that is in the U.S. codes. I'll have to look it up right now. It's not coming to me, but I think it's Title 26, Section 3003, Subsection 15. Now, I'm not looking that up. I'm actually doing that from memory. I'm pulling up the picture and trying to read it. But anyway, you can look that up. But anyway, pursuant to parens patria doctrine, the primary control and custody of infants is with the government. That's right. The primary control and custody of infants is with the government. Not with you. Now, that's not saying that you didn't have a prior right. It's just saying that the primary control and custody now is with the government. That's what it says. That's the ruling. In other words, and this is a different ruling, in other words, the state is the father and mother of the child, and the natural parents are not entitled to the custody except upon the state's beneficent, upon the state's benevolence, on its benefaction. Those benefactors who exercise authority one over the other. Chandler versus Whatley case. That's a 1939 case. Already, and by 1939, they were claiming that you don't have any rights as a parent. Except if they say so. That's why they can take your children away for no cause. Because they just don't feel beneficent. Today, they don't feel like benefactors today. They're going to take them away because you don't own them. You don't even own yourselves, but that's another part of the equation. And you know why you don't own yourselves and your children? Why they can take your sons and daughters for their purposes? Do you know why? Because you rejected God. You went to church, you sang in church, you said you believe in Jesus, that you have faith in Jesus, but you're actually rejecting God. All those words you say in church, those are in vain. You're ignorant of the gospel of the kingdom. You're ignorant of the righteous ways of God. You're not following them, and so therefore they own you. And they own your children. And they can take your children and they can inject them with anything they want. They just don't want to get you too worked up, so they do it a little bit at a time, you know. They kind of sneak it in, you know, Colorado first, and then, of course, California will come along with this. And there'll be some backlash and people will argue against it, but the pharmaceutical companies will make millions before your kids are dead. And that's okay. You see, because they don't care about you either. They care about how much money they're going to make. But what do you care about? You don't care about your neighbor as much as you care about yourself. If you did, you'd be gathering together to protect. It wouldn't be 10 people show up to try to get Justine out of that hospital. It'd be 10,000 Bostonians alone that showed up. But see, there aren't any real Christians hardly in Boston. Because nobody's preaching the gospel in Boston. But then they're not preaching it in Poughkeepsie either. We're preaching it, and we're going to tell you what you've been missing, the rest of the story, when we come back to Keys of the Kingdom.
When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Jefferson did not write, they are endowed by their constitutions with unalienable rights. Nor did Jefferson write, they are endowed by their elected lawmakers with unalienable rights. Jefferson did write that these truths are self-evident. Does that mean we have to go to school to learn these truths from a teacher? Does self-evident mean we have to read, study, and research these ideas in books written by other men? No, these truths are written on our conscience, on our hearts and minds, written on our souls by our Creator. These truths are maxims of His law. If unalienable rights are endowed granted or given by our Creator to each of us, does that mean that there is no free will choice, act, or deed that can bar us from access to these God-given unalienable rights? Is it a self-evident truth that we can freely choose to do anything and we will always maintain access to these natural law unalienable rights endowed by God? Isn't it a self-evident truth that the answers to these questions are no? Isn't it also a self-evident truth that in order to maintain access to the inalienable rights granted by God, that we must also maintain our God-given natural law responsibilities and duties in order to maintain our position or status in God's government or jurisdiction? Don't the governments of man require obedience to their laws in order to keep their civil rights? Why would it be any different for God? If we want to keep his inalienable rights, wouldn't we be expected to keep his laws, do his will by remaining obedient, loyal, and giving allegiance to him and his government? If an individual, family, community, or nation freely chooses by consent, participation, or appeal to create or join a different government that has its own structure and form, which creates its own civil laws and grants its own civil rights to its members, persons, nationals, or citizens, doesn't the act of joining, giving allegiance, obedience, trust, and faith to this new government mean that they have rejected the Creator's government and rejected His laws? Doesn't it mean that the people have rejected God and His ways and, in essence, expatriating their natural status as a national in God's kingdom government in order to be naturalized into a new government created by men via consent, contracts, constitutions, participation, and appeal? Isn't this what happened to the Israelites when we read 1 Samuel chapter 8? So how does an individual, a family, a community, a nation once again get access to their God-given inalienable rights once they have lost them by their own free will choices, acts, and deeds? Repent. Turn around. Go the other way, God's way. Start taking back the responsibilities that are imposed on the nationals of God's kingdom government. Responsibilities do not follow rights. Rights follow responsibilities. The first step is to truly love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and to love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. If we want our God-given unalienable rights back, we must stop exercising dominion over our neighbors. Start keeping the commandments. Do not covet. Do not steal. Which includes the legalized covetousness and plunder that is mandatory in all man-made governments. Start by coming together in free will assemblies of individuals and families that are seeking to return to God's kingdom government. Families and individuals start by seeking, striving, and working to be the departments of health, education, welfare, economy, defense, agriculture, energy, and justice for other families in the free assembly, but also for other families of families near and far. The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about fathers, fathers of the earth. Jesus said, call no man father, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. And we have a webpage out, several webpages out on this topic that explains exactly what that means, to call no man father upon the earth. And what it was people have a tendency to look to government to solve their problems. We see that in Samuel 8, where the people wanted to have a king to reign and rule over them. And they wanted to elect Saul, and they wanted their Supreme Court Justice, Samuel, to swear him in to that office where he could exercise authority and he could fire judges that are corrupt. And make things right. Now, they had a means by which to fire those judges. They had a means by which to get rid of that corruption, but they couldn't get along well enough to do this. And at least they thought they couldn't. And so they couldn't get rid of them. So they said, let's have a king, and he can appoint the judges and fire the judges. You know, we may even get to elect our judges, but then he can fire the ones he doesn't like. Before you know it, you know, he packs the Supreme Court and he can rule over you. And we saw it during the Civil War. We see it all the time. You know, when the presidents get to nominate people for the Supreme Court, they put on people that have political ideas and interpretations according to the way they like things. And if they have a Congress that supports them, they can really pack that court with guys they like. And they can appoint people over justice departments. They can appoint people over the CDC. The head of the CDC in, I think it's CDC, I don't know, Children's Services, DCF now. They change their initials from time to time. I don't know why that is, but to protect the guilty, I guess. But they've wanted to fire the person who's in charge in Massachusetts a number of times. A lot of people are up in arms. They think they're doing a terrible job, and the governor won't do it. There's probably a lot of politics going on behind the scenes there. But they can get away with that. They don't have to listen to the people because, I mean, only 10 people are going to show up at a protest. And then that's the other thing. Even when you get thousands of people to show up at a protest, they all show up and they come there, and then nothing happens. And they all go home. And the people who are in power just laugh. They're not afraid of your protests. You're not going to do anything. You just go down there and you think, wow, we protested. But now with the internet, you know, people worry about, they say the government's going to worry because we're going to get the truth out on the internet. And what happens is that people tweet about something they think is bad. And, well, I've done my part. I tweeted. I said, I think this is bad. And then I went back the other 99.9% of the day and did whatever I dang well pleased. No concept of a free society. No concept of even what a free society should be doing. Which is why, you know, we're explaining what a congregation should actually do. I mean, you don't want to think that what a church should be doing is what the churches are doing down on the street corner where you live. Because that isn't what they're supposed to be doing. If they were doing what they were supposed to be doing, children would not be kidnapped by the state and tortured for 14 months and nobody do anything, but 10 people show up with signs. Now, yeah, now they've got lawyers on it, but those lawyers are acting like, this is outrageous, and I've never seen anything like this. I've seen it all the time. I've seen children taken away from their parents all the time. And I live almost 100 miles to the courthouse. And I've been in the courtroom when people were tossed in jail. And I know people. I wasn't always there in the courtroom when some of these things happened. I know people that were just absolutely brutalized by the police. Women. Beat up in broad daylight. In the court. Physically assaulted. Did nothing. Did nothing to warrant any kind of an assault. Were physically assaulted and dragged, bleeding, by the cops, off to jail. I've seen little tiny innocent little guys, didn't do anything wrong, didn't commit any crime, conspired against, dragged into court because they couldn't get the other guys they wanted to get because of their own incompetence. He was beat black and blue in jail. And, you know, I went right in there on the day we got him out. I went right into the cop and I said, you didn't become a cop to let this kind of stuff go on. You're letting it go on because you're afraid of the guys in power. I told him that right there in the middle of the jail. And they took it. But it was just me and one other person. because you guys are all out singing in your churches. You don't care about your neighbor. Oh, you want to think you're a Christian, but no, 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 no. You want to think you're a nice guy. Oh, no, 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 no. Not nice guy like early Christians. Not that kind of nice guy. People who risk their lives daily for each other. Who lay everything down to protect one another. You're not that kind of Christian. You're the kind of Christian that, you know, oh, maybe we'll listen to the radio show today. There's nothing else to do. And you think you're going to be free? You think you're saved? Now, Christianity, it's a rough road. It's a courageous road. It's for courageous people. It's for self-sacrificing people. It's not for, you know, pudding-hand pastors who get up there and say, oh, they get all emotional and teary-eyed. Jesus died for my sins. Said that they will be forgiven. No, Jesus died that you might be saved. You don't repent, you ain't saved. And I want to see evidence of that repentance before I'm going to tell you that you're saved. You can't just tell me that you believe in Jesus and I'm going to tell you you're saved. I'm not going to do that. That would be doing a disservice. That would be tickling your ears. I'm not going to do that. You're probably not saved. Just statistically speaking, from what I've seen of Christianity today, you're probably not saved. You're under a strong delusion of salvation. You haven't really accepted the real Jesus. You're not really seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness unless it's convenient. And that's the inconvenient truth. That doesn't make me a lot of money, I can guarantee you that, but that's what you need to hear. You have need of repentance. Serious, serious need of repentance. Because hell is going to be empty soon, and all the demons are going to be here. And you don't have on the armor of God because you haven't turned around and started going the way that Christ said to go. Now, you don't have the power in you to go where Christ wants you to go. You don't have the strength in you to follow in the path of Christ. You don't have that because that's a gift. And it comes by way of the Holy Spirit. And it only comes by way of the Holy Spirit if you truly turn around and head back to your Father's house to serve. You see, your father is Satan. That's right. And this is why Satan can come and take your child away from you, inject it with whatever they want, refuse it medical treatment, keep you from even visiting your child. It can pump it full of all kinds of drugs and narcotics. New test drugs that haven't even been approved yet. They're just being tested. Do you think Justina has received some of those test drugs? Absolutely. Absolutely. They have the absolute right to do that. It's wrong to do it, but they have the absolute legal right to do it because you rejected God and you prayed at their altars, you ate at their tables, despite the fact that God said, if you sit and eat with a ruler, and when we say ruler, we're talking about men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. When you sit and eat with them, put a knife to your throat because he serves you deceitful meats. You should have put a knife to your throat and dragged yourself out of that room. But instead, nope. I'm going to apply for public school education. I'm going to apply for Medicare. I'm going to apply for Medicaid. You know, I don't want to pick on the individuals, but I'm talking about a spirit that you think it's okay to take from government and you don't think there's going to be repercussions. Well, there is. There's serious repercussions. Mr. Pelletier, he's discovering what those repercussions are. And Mr. Matt Stauffer should be explaining to him that you don't have a right to your child. You've given that up when you applied for the benefits. When you applied for medical aid and medical coverage by the state and free education, when you applied for those things, you waived your right to decide the fate of your child. When you registered your child for benefits at her birth, something Christians refused to do and were actually persecuted to death for refusing to register their child's birth under Marcus Aurelius. That's a matter of history. But you don't know that history because you go to the feel-good church. But we're really decent people at our church. We like each other and you know, it's really a great fellowship. You can get that at a club. That's not what church is about. Church isn't a social club. Church is about salvation in this life and the next. It's about walking in the ways of Christ. And if you walk in the ways of Christ, they're going to want to crucify you. And you don't have to be in a Muslim country for them to do that. You can be that right here in America. But if you would gather together with other people who are really courageous and really care about their neighbor as much as they care about themselves, you still won't have a chance. You will only have a chance with the intervention of the Holy Spirit. And it will intervene if you are truly repentant. This is why we tell you to homeschool. If you just put on homeschooling and think that, well, you know, I'll do that. No, you need to be convicted that I cannot any longer take from my neighbor through this beast system of force and power. If I don't have a coat and nobody wants to share with me, I will freeze. If I don't have food and nobody wants to share with me, I will go hungry. I don't want you to be stupid about this. It's not a matter of getting rid of your ID and your social security number and all that kind of stuff. It's starting to be that person who will be there for others. You have to start the flow of righteousness by starting to care about others. So many people think, oh, I want to get out of the system because it's a beast system. It's a beast system. And what they do, they end up losing their job and they can't drive anymore because they don't have their social security number and all these kinds of things. And all they do is become a burden to everybody else. That's not the way it's supposed to be. You're supposed to be gathering together and loving one another so that nobody, you would be better off staying in Egypt, paying your tally of bricks, but then with everything that you have left over, sharing that to the most of your ability. You're going to have to do some overtime. To the most of your ability, decrease your own standard of living to try to bring other people up in a way that strengthens them. That's what you have to do. And you have to do this by gathering together and seeking to find those other people who are courageous and giving and forgiving and willing to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You've gone so far down into the pit that you're going to have to start climbing back out. It's not about getting out of Egypt. It's about getting that spirit of Egypt out of you. So anyway, we've gone through three quarters of the show, and we haven't even really gotten into this parens patria, other than the fact that I shared with you that, in other words, the state is the father and mother of the child, and the natural parents are not entitled to custody except upon the state's beneficent behavior or attitude or feeling of the day. And that's the way it is. And you can shake your fist and shake your head and get angry all you want, but that's not going to make it any better. What you have to do is start taking back your responsibilities and stop asking Sauls of the world or the Nimrods of the world to be your great benefactors, which is exactly what Jesus told you to do. He says it wasn't to be that way like these other nations with you, but it is today. In America, in Australia, in Canada, everywhere, they got the state providing you with protection and benefits. Protection draws subjection, but subjection draws protection. But they don't love you. You're just a human resource. So when the chips are really down, and they'll be down soon enough, they're not going to be there for you. And most of your neighbors are not going to be there for you. And most of the people in your social club called church are not going to be there for you. They're going to want you to be there for them, but they're not going to be there for you. They'll hold out. They'll have a safe full of silver coins and gold and everything else, and they won't share with you. They'll expect you to come and help them. They won't tell you about all the money they have. I remember a pastor was helping out a guy, giving him a place to live and giving him food and money every day so he could go look for a job. And he had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars secreted away in a little purse that he didn't tell anybody about. He would go and he would make money. I think he begged during the day is what he would do, because he would come back with more money every night. But then he would take money from the preacher and he would go and get more money. And he had a free place to stay and he had free food. And he said, "No, I looked for a job. I applied here and there and everything." And I think he was just on the street corners getting, begging. And that was his ambition in life, to look mournful and dejected and get money from other people without working. He worked hard at not working. But it was the spirit in him. He was a vampire. He wanted to suck the blood of other people. And he was willing to lie and cheat and do it. Fortunately, the pastor finally figured it out with him, but I don't know if he's figured it out with everybody else. But anyway, in the article we have on Call No Man Father, the Bible tells us that we all have one father, but he also talks about the Pharisees having their father Satan. So the question is, who's your daddy? No one is more sovereign than the creator of mankind. That's where you are endowed by your rights. How does God the Father appoint the ruling powers over men so that they may exercise authority? To understand the present is often required to look at the past. Man was not given dominion over other men by God. Governments are not given dominion over men by God. Men cannot acquire righteous dominion by force, yet by consent we may give ourselves into subjection. But consent requires agreement. Could that be why in the Ten Commandments it tells you Thou shalt not make agreements, a covenant, a contract, a constitution. Thou shalt not do it. Now, in the Bible, it does tell you that if you decide to do it, you better put these items in there, four or five items they list off. Only one of them is in the Constitution of the United States, and most of them aren't in any constitutions around the world. So those constitutions aren't the ones that are permitted by God. But you are permitted to sin, but you will not sin without consequences. And now you're seeing the consequences that can come and take your sons and daughters, which of course is what Samuel told you they could do. They would be able to take your sons and daughters and put them to their purposes, because they're not your sons and daughters anymore. They're sons and daughters of the state, because the state is the one. You know, how many people remember in the old movies and shows and where there was some rebellious young teenager and he says, "You're eating at my table, you're going by my rules." You've heard that. Well, whose table are you eating at? Okay, well, whose rules do you have to follow? There you go. That simple. It's not complicated. I can go through and show you the law. But it's as simple as what Daddy told you. You eat at my table, you live by my rules. That's it. There you got it. Now, write that down. Remember that. Somebody needs it. You know, that's what Matt Stauffer's got to tell the father of Justina. You're eating at their table. You got to play by their rules. And their rule is, it's not your daughter. It's their daughter. That's what they got written down here. In other words, the state is the father and mother of the child, and the natural parents are not entitled to custody except by their benefaction. Write it down. They wrote it down. They published it. They didn't tell you that in public school? Well, why should they? Public school is not about educating free people. It's about educating slaves. That's what it's about. And they're doing a great job of it. You don't want your slaves being too smart now, do you? I mean, they're going to learn to read and write, so you just got to have the way in which they read to be kind of the ignorant way to read. The truth is right in front of you all the time. Most of you don't want to hear it. Some of you are starting to want to hear it. Now, is that going to do you any good? How many of you work daily to get this program where somebody is willing to tell you the truth at great risk? You think the powers that be don't want to shut me up? Nobody else is saying this. They're too afraid. Pastors whisper this stuff to me. The few that do want to see it a little bit. I'm saying, go ahead, get us on a big radio station. Get us on as many radio stations. Call every radio station in your community and say, we want to hear this program. Oh, I don't know if I want to do that. I don't want to stick my head up, you know. That might be a lot of trouble. Actually, dial a number, you know. You always have to dial the area code, too. Go make your excuses. Go bury the dead. Let the dead bury the dead. What are you going to do about waking people up to the truth? Well, I'll ask you that again on the next time on Keys of the Kingdom. Till then, may peace be upon your house.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net. Thank you.